Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 9th, 2023, 1 John.
All right, a couple of things before we get started. Today is Clay Wertree's birthday. Tomorrow is Sherry Castillo's birthday. Sherry is a spring chicken. Clay is a fall rooster. Happy birthday. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. 1 John 3, verse 20. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 20 says, because if our heart condemns us, third class condition, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. He is the omniscient God. Of all the attributes of God, one of those attributes is the omniscience of God. And this brought us to a study of the omniscience of God, and we've studied the first 8 points. We noted that the word itself, omniscience, is derived from two Latin words, omnis all and sciens, knowing. So literally, omniscience means all knowing. Point one was God knows all things. He is all knowledge. Our passage, 1 John 3:20, Job 37:16, Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. Point 2, the omniscience of God includes not only the knowledge of things that actually happen, but also things which possibly could have happened. That is all iffy history. Matthew chapter 11, verses 21 to 23. Point 3, there never was a time when God did not know everything that would ever happen. Point 4, therefore the omniscience of God is infinite. Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5. Point 5, God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10. Point 6, God knows perfectly and eternally, as well as simultaneously, all that is knowable, both actual and possible. In God, the knowledge of one thing is not before another. One act of knowledge does not lead to another. God knows all things instantly and simultaneously without any succession of knowledge in himself. Everything that has been known or ever will be known has been known to God since eternity past. God never learns anything because he has always known everything. Point 7, God has three categories of knowledge. The first category, self-knowledge. God has perfect, eternal, and infinite knowledge of himself. God knows himself, his attributes, his plan, his policy. He knows everything that relates to himself or emanates from himself. And since God is eternal, there never was a time when he did not know these things. The second category of knowledge, omniscience. While God's self-knowledge relates to the Trinity, his omniscience relates to all creatures, angelic and human. Every certain thing related to the thinking, the decisions, and the actions of God's creatures were placed in the divine decree from the omniscience of God. Every minute detail of both angelic and human history is completely in God's mind at all times. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, omniscience perceives the free as free, the necessary is necessary, together with all their causes, conditions, and relations, as one indivisible system of things. The third category of knowledge is foreknowledge. Omniscience places in the divine decree actual history, the thoughts, decisions, and actions of all of God's creatures. Foreknowledge relates to the divine decree for the believer only. Foreknowledge acknowledges what is certain for the believer only from the divine decree. God foreknows all things as certainly future because he has first decreed them from his omniscience. The foreknowledge of God, like predestination and election, is for the believer only. In fact, the omniscience of God places the facts into the divine decree, resulting in five categories of blessing for the believer. Foreknowledge, predestination, election to privilege, justification, glorification. And this is that great passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. And point 8, omniscience has three characteristics. First of all, it is eternal. Because God is eternal life and omniscient, he has always known everything. Acts 15, verses 12 to 18. Secondly, it is incomprehensible. Now, many things are incomprehensible to us. I would have to say almost infinite number of things are incomprehensible to us because we are finite man. However, because of his infinity, everything is clearly comprehensible to God. Romans 11:33. The Bible reveals only a very small fraction of God's knowledge. Third, it is wise. The wisdom, total wisdom as well as total knowledge belongs to God's omniscience, Ephesians 3:10. That brings us to point 9, and that's where we start this evening. Point number 9. And that is the omniscience of God and the free will of man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. He created man. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who created the first man. First of all, he created the body from the dust of the earth, formed the body. It wasn't, there was no human being at that point. That was just the tent. Jesus Christ formed the body first. Then after he formed the body, he breathed in neshama, the spark of life. And man became a living soul. First the body, and after the body was completed, then neshama, the spark of life. And as the Lord Jesus Christ created man, one of the great things he gave man was the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ gave to all angels. He created the angelic realm, and he gave them a volition, a free will. And he's given us a volition and a free will. So now we have omniscience of God and the free will of man. One, God knows the function of every free will of every member of the human race. God knows the function of every free will of every member of the human race. The Lord Jesus Christ gave man a volition, just as he gave angels a volition. God knows that some members of the human race will use their free will to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And he knows that some will use their free will to reject the grace of God and not believe in Jesus Christ. God knows that some believers will use their free will to believe the absolute truth of Bible doctrine, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also knows that some will use their free will to make bad decisions, to live in Satan's cosmic system. So God knows the functions of every free will of every member of the human race. Two, the omniscience of God knows that man was given a free will to resolve the angelic conflict. Man was created to resolve the angelic conflict. He knows which way our volition will decide in every situation of life. Three, although he never interferes with free will, God is gracious and all-wise, and therefore does not merely sit on the sidelines. Although he never interferes with free will, God is gracious and all-wise, and therefore does not merely sit on the sidelines. Four, he may determine which choice is made by his gracious influence. He may determine which choice is made by his gracious influence. Five, this may be done through Bible doctrine, the Word of God, metabolize doctrine in the heart of the believer, or through his control of the variables of life that are beyond human control. So this may be done through metabolized doctrine in the heart. That metabolized doctrine in the heart and the filling of the Spirit provides motivation, encouraging you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and glorify God to the maximum. So it may be done through metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer, or through his control of the variables of life that are beyond human control. 6. God's plan for man is the best plan based on his omniscience. God's plan for man is the best plan based on his omniscience. God has a plan for each one of you, and his plan is the best plan. Now I know you're human beings, you all have your plans too. And there's times you probably think your plans are the best plans. But the very best plan for your life is God's plan, not yours. God's. God's plan is the best plan for you. But when you get arrogant, then you think your plan's better than God's plan. You know more than God does. How arrogant can you get? To think you know more than God does. Your plan's better than God's plan. How arrogant can you become? God's plan for man is the best plan. And that's based on his omniscience. And this means we can never, never outsmart God. There is no way we can improve on his plan. We can simply choose to execute God's plan for our life, which has our best interest in mind, or we can try to outsmart God and follow our own plan. 7. If we choose not to obey God and follow his plan, will, and purpose for our life, what happens to God's plan? Does he just quit? Does he take his football and go home? No, God's plan goes right on without you. God's plan goes on with you or without you. So, if we choose not to obey God and follow his plan, will, and purpose for our life, then God's plan goes right on without you. Satan is the best illustration of what happens to someone who tries to outsmart God. The devil's entire strategy boils down to an attempt to outsmart, second guess, and outmaneuver God. Satan thinks that his plan is better than God's plan, and he wants to put it into effect and take God's place. 8. The result of Satan's brilliant and arrogant efforts to improve on the plan of God is the confusion and evil we find in the world today. The result of Satan's brilliant and arrogant efforts to improve on the plan of God is the confusion and evil we find in the world today. Now eventually, Satan's rival plan will result in his own destruction in the lake of fire forever. 9. While believers will never be condemned to the lake of fire, their arrogant, imperfect plans will simply create misery and punitive suffering for themselves and for others. While believers will never be condemned to the lake of fire, their arrogant and imperfect plans will simply create misery and punitive suffering for themselves and for others. God has a plan for each one of you, and that is the best plan. And you have a choice. You have a free will to choose for God's plan or choose for your own arrogant substitute. Point 10. The omniscience of God and the intellect of man. This is a very short point. God is omniscient. We are, I don't know, we're not the right word. I know a lot of you think you are, know a lot. If we could take everything in here that everybody knows in here, we could take everything that human race knows, all the human race knows, it wouldn't even show up on a graph at all compared to God. The omniscience of God and the intellect of man. First of all, we continue to learn. Well, some do. Some don't learn anything. Some are walking around, you know. We continue to learn as long as we live on this earth. But God has never had to learn anything. God has always known everything. He has always known everything. Every thought, every motive, every event, and every action of every person in the world. And He knew it billions and billions of years before they ever came to pass. God has always known everything. 3. Intellect in man is barely more than the capacity to try to acquire a little bit of knowledge. Intellect in man is barely more than the capacity to try to acquire a little bit of knowledge. Four, man's intellect compared with the omniscience of God is less than basic. Basic. Man's intellect compared with the omniscience of God is less than basic. Five. On the other hand, the omniscience of God is all-inclusive and infinite. On the other hand, the omniscience of God is all-inclusive and infinite. Six, no one in the human race can ever begin to approach the infinite wisdom and understanding of God. No one in the human race can ever begin to approach the infinite wisdom and understanding of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth, in the word here, oh, the inexhaustibility of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The inexhaustibility of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable his ways. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in virtue love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge, epinosis knowledge, of God's mystery, that is, Christ, in whom, in Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 7. However, it is God's desire that every believer, every one of you, come to understand that portion of God's knowledge which he has chosen to reveal in his word. It is God's desire that every believer come to understand, to know, believe that portion of God's knowledge which he has chosen to reveal in his word. That's why what we are doing right now is more important than anything else you could ever do in this life. This is number one. This is the key. If you're ever going to live the spiritual life, you have to live it by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're commanded, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. You have the word filled, it's plerao. In the Greek, it was used a wind that fills the sail and empowers the ship through the water. So the idea is empowerment. We're commanded, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. That's the power to live the unique spiritual life. Galatians 5:16, we're commanded again, walk by means of the Spirit, so you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the word walk is live your life by the power of the Spirit of God. That's just the first spiritual skill. That combines with spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, which is consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, get maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, which is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the very short time that we are here. So it is God's desire that every believer come to understand that portion of God's knowledge which he has chosen to reveal in his word. So point 10, the omniscience of God and the intellect of man. Point 11, omniscience means that nothing can ever be hidden from God. Omniscience means that nothing can ever be hidden from God. Turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and that the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, the living and true God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you, the living and true God. Turn over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 5. This is David, spiritually mature believer David, the human author of most of the Psalms. And David in Psalm 69, verse 5 says, O God, it is thou who dost know my folly, arrogance, bad decisions, and my sins are not hidden from thee. So omniscience means that nothing can ever be hidden from God. 12. God not only knows all your actions, but he also knows all your thoughts. God not only knows all your actions you can fake out a lot of people. But God is constantly looking at your heart. See, man looks at the outward appearance. You look at each other and you see tents, little tents all over the place. But God is looking at the heart in here, what you are thinking. Your thoughts, your motivations, all of that is in here. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. This was when Samuel was choosing the next king. And all the brothers of David came forward, and here came Eliab in the military, had on his military uniform, tall, dark, and handsome. And Samuel goes, yeah, this has got to be the one. He is the next king. No, wasn't Eliab. All the other brothers came through. No, no, no. And then here is this shepherd, David, the redhead. David was a redhead. And God told Samuel, this is the one. Man looks at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. And in his heart, in his thinking, He loves me. He has fulfilled the number one mandate. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. That was David. And he had that reality in his soul as a teenager. And he would become the great, greatest king in Israel's history. So God not only knows all your actions, but he also knows all your thoughts. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel 11, verse 5. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel, and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says. That is what you are saying, O house of Israel, but I know what is going through your mind. Your words are all talk, all blow and no go. They were saying a lot of the right things, but God knew their thinking, their mind. God not only knows all your actions, but he also knows all your thoughts. Ezekiel 11:5. 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. 13. The omniscience of God in relationship to those living in Satan's cosmic system. The omniscience of God in relationship to those living in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to Job 34. Job 34. The omniscience of God in relationship to those living in Satan's cosmic system. Verse 21, starting in verse 21. His eyes. Now this is an anthropomorphism. God doesn't have eyes, but this is referring to the omniscience of God. This is the living and true God. His eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. There is no dark place, no deep shadow where evildoers can hide. God has no need to examine men further that they should come before him for judgment. Without inquiry, he shatters the mighty and sets up others in their place. Because he takes note of their deeds, he overthrows them in the night and they are crushed. He punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them. Because they turned from following him, the living and true God. They're following their own plans. To hell with God's plan. My plan's better than his plan. Because they turned from following him and had no regard for any of his ways, God's plan, God's will, God's purpose for your life. Turn over to Amos. Amos. You can find it right next to Andy. You can find Amos. Amos 9, verse 2. Amos 9, verse 2. Though they dig down to the depths of the grave, from there my hand will take them. Though they climb up to the heavens, from there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from me at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent to bite them. Though they are driven into exile by their enemies, there I will command the sword to slay them. I will fix my eyes upon them for evil that they are doing, not for good. So here we have the omniscience of God in relationship to those living in Satan's cosmic system. Job 34, 21 to 27, Amos 9, 2 to 4. Let's amplify this. One, the omniscience of God guarantees that all divine discipline for the believer living in Satan's cosmic system is based on all the facts. The omniscience of God guarantees that all divine discipline for the believer living in Satan's cosmic system is based on all the facts. The Lord Jesus Christ has all the facts. He's the omniscient God. And all divine judgment of the unbeliever is based on all the facts. So the omniscience of God guarantees that all divine discipline for the believer living in Satan's cosmic system is based on all the facts, and all divine judgment of the unbeliever is based on all the facts. Nothing will be overlooked or falsely valued. God doesn't need man's help in the judging of reversionists. Since God is omniscient, He has all the facts. We don't, but God does. Two, therefore, vengeance belongs to God, not to you. Vengeance belongs to God, not to you. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 19. Do not take revenge. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So do not get involved in revenge. Three, the omniscience of God combined with the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God means that God is infinitely fair. Man is not, but God is. The omniscience of God plus the right absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God means that God is infinitely fair. Man is not infinitely fair, but God is. Four, the omniscience of God plus the righteousness and justice of God means there is no place for man's self-righteous judging, maligning, gossiping about others. The omniscience of God plus the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God means there is no place for man's self-righteous judging, maligning, and gossiping about others. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history. He is the omniscient God. He is holy. He can handle every situation. So what is the order of the day for us as royal family of God? Well, you don't have to worry about anything like that. And the worst area of sins you can ever get into are sins of the tongue. You get into those sins, why, you're living in Satan's cosmic system, and I feel sorry for you in the fact that you haven't got a clue as to what the spiritual life is. The spiritual life is growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective. When you have that, now you love God. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And that motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. Impersonal love. And that means you manifest the royal family honor code to all, to the whole human race. You manifest the royal family honor code. Honor, virtue, integrity to all. And that has an impact on the world. Because you now have the invisible God in you. You're indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father designed the whole plan of the spiritual life. God the Holy Spirit provides the power to live the spiritual life. And here is an invisible God which man can't see. Man's never seen God the Father. Man's never seen God the Holy Spirit. The only member of the Trinity that they've seen is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they've never seen the Father. They've never seen the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the divine power to live the spiritual life. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Virtue love. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Generosity. Fidelity. Tolerance. Self-control. And that is seen by the world. The invisible God inside of you, you living the spiritual life, that's invisible. But when you live that spiritual life, it manifests impersonal love for all. And that the world sees. The world sees. That has impact on the world. Impersonal love for all mankind. And unfortunately today we have very, very few believers that have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And so they have no impact. When the rest of the world looks at most believers, it's the same thing that they see when they look at unbelievers. Arrogance. But when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you develop personal love for God. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. That comes first. We're going to see that's all defined in great detail in 1 John chapter 5. We will get there. And that personal love for God motivates impersonal love for all. And that, now you got invisible God, invisible power inside of you that manifests impact to the whole world. And they see it. Of course they see it. Their jaws drop because you're showing honor, virtue, integrity to the scum, the unlovely, the arrogant. So the omniscience of God plus the righteousness and justice of God means there is no place for man's self-righteous judging, maligning, and gossiping about others. Point 14. The omniscience of God in relationship to winner believers. The last point was the omniscience of God in relationship to those living in the cosmic system. 14 is the omniscience of God in relationship to winner believers living the spiritual life. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And Peter is quoting from Psalm 34 verse 15. So what we have here in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, is also in Psalm 34, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord, and once again, this is an anthropomorphism, referring to the omniscience of God. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, the grace-righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. They have effective prayer life, powerful and effective prayer life. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, living in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 16. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord, again an anthropomorphism for the omniscience of God, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Hearts with maximum metabolized doctrine. So let's amplify the omniscience of God in relationship to winner believers living the spiritual life. One, the omniscience of God guarantees that all winner believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will receive greater grace blessings for time, right here in the middle of the devil's world. The omniscience of God guarantees that all winner believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will receive greater grace blessings for time. Spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. Turn over to James chapter 4. James 4. James chapter 4, starting at verse 6. James 4, verse 6. But He, God, gives us, winner believers, greater grace. That is why the Scripture says, God goes to war with the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, Submit yourself. That's true humility. God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, have humility, genuine humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. Humility, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God. There is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, positive volition, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, and He, God, will come near to you. Greater grace, blessings in time. Point two, the omniscience of God guarantees that all winner believers, choosing for God's plan and living the spiritual life, will receive greater grace, blessings for eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The omniscience of God guarantees that all winner believers choosing for God's plan and living the spiritual life will receive greater grace, blessing for eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul is about to be executed. These are the last words that he wrote, the last epistle, Second Timothy. He is in the Mamertine dungeon awaiting his execution. He isn't dying of old age. He's dying because God's plan for his life is over. And he's being executed. He's not asking all the Christians to march on Rome. He's looking forward to leaving his tent and going face to face with the Lord, first of all in an interim body, and then a resurrection body awarded at the rapture. Verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He is the greatest, maybe the greatest believer of all time. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Three, the omniscience of God guarantees powerful and effective prayer for the spiritually mature believer. The omniscience of God guarantees powerful and effective prayer for the spiritually mature believer. And that, we saw that in 1 Peter 3:12 already. James 5:16, the prayer of a grace-righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. Four, since God is omniscient, He has all the facts and knows those who will glorify Him. Since God is omniscient, He has all the facts and knows those who will glorify Him. Five, the omniscience of God searches the heart of man. 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks at the outward appearance. Samuel thought Eliab was for sure going to be the one God would choose to be king. Wrong! Not at all. Military man, tall, dark, handsome. He had very little truth in his heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The omniscience of God searches the heart of man, and therefore he knows if virtue, love have been brought to completion in his heart or not. 1 John 2:5. If anyone keeps on obeying his word, the mandates of the word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in his heart. And God is constantly searching our hearts. That brings us to point 15 and the conclusion. Practical ramifications of the omniscience of God. Practical ramifications of the omniscience of God. First of all, the omniscience of God means that you have no problem which is too great for the plan of God. The omniscience of God means that you have no problem which is too great for the plan of God. Two, when suffering, adversity, or disaster occurs in our lives, God knew about it in eternity past. And therefore, he has the perfect solution. His solution. Not your solution, his solution. Three, there is no problem in your life too great for the grace and the power of God. There is no problem in your life too great for the grace and the power of God. Four, for the winner believer who loves the Lord, God works all things together for good. For the winner believer who loves the Lord, God is working all things together for good. Turn over to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Here's the kicker. I've heard a lot of people quote this, but they never quote the next line, which is the key. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. To those who love God. That's the believer who is fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And that motivates something that the world can see. That motivates impersonal love for all. And now, the invisible God empowers you from the inside out to have impact that the world can see. Impersonal love for all. So five, omniscience means that God knows everything about us. God knows everything about us, about our suffering, about our adversity, about our prosperity, about our good decisions, about our bad decisions. And therefore, He knows perfectly how to bless us and make us happy, and how to spank us and make us hurt. The omniscience of God. All right, with our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.